Philip Roth has died at the age of 85. The Pulitzer, National Book Award, and Man Booker International Prize-winning novelist first had success in 1959 with his short story collection, Goodbye Columbus. A decade later, Portnoy's Complaint earned him great notoriety and a place in the American canon. His 1997 work, American Pastoral, won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. I spoke with Philip Roth in 2008 when his novel Indignation was published. In this archival interview, we talk about his career and process. Each of his sometimes controversial books had a different voice and a different character. I asked him if he enjoyed taking his characters on their varying journeys.
Well, I like not doing the same thing twice. At least I like to see it that way. So after one finishes a book, you write sort of almost in reaction against it, the next book. To keep it exciting for yourself, interesting for yourself, and also to test your own inventiveness.
Is it ever a challenge to test your own inventiveness?
It's always a challenge.
It is.
It continues to be one. Yep. It's no different now than it was at the beginning, really. The reason being that each time you begin a new book, you're beginning a project that you've never done before. It isn't as though you're writing more, and therefore it's the same, but you're writing something else, and that something else has never been written by you before. You have to discover it as you go along. So it's always a challenge.
How much are you doing for the reader?
Well, I try to bring as much aesthetic vitality to the book as I can, and that should hold the reader holding the book in his hands. When I'm at work, I'm thinking about the demands of the piece itself, and I don't worry terribly about X, Y, or Z. Just as X, Y, or Z when he is, or she is at their jobs, don't worry very much about me. So my responsibility and my effort is all turned towards the book. And when it's done, when I finish writing, I do give the book to three or four or five close friends whose judgment I trust, each has a different point of view, to read and tell me what they think. So the first readers are these friends who are, I ask to be candid, and they are candid. And after I get their response, I go home and think about it, and think about what isn't clear, what's perhaps too clear, etc. And so my first response is to readers of my choice, but they're very good readers.
What do you mean by too clear? How can something be too clear?
Well, you can be too explicit about something. You can repeat yourself. There's a fine line between being overly clear and being clear.
So at what point do you know that you have it right?
Well, I write the book over and over again. I write many drafts. The computer makes life easier because you can make corrections as you go along. But even so, I must have 4, 5, 6, 7 versions of different books. So I'm constantly working on it, deepening it, making it more dense, making it more lively, I hope, more persuasive. And finally, I reach a point where I'm written out, where there's nothing more that I can do. And for good or bad, I'm finished. Now, that's the time when I give it to these friends to read. Often, as a result of things they've said or pointed to, I go back once again to the book. But I essentially write myself out. I can't go any further.
And at that point, what is it that you want to do when you start the next novel? I assume then get back to work, right?
Yeah, I want to get back to work. I don't like not working. The beginning of a book is the most difficult part of all, and it takes months for me to write my way into a new book. I'm working, but I don't come up with anything that satisfies me. But it may take 4, 5, 6 months to get the thing so that you say, aha, this is the book, and you can get to work on it. I don't like being idle, however.
You're not happy when you're not working on a novel.
No, I'm not happy.
The work obviously is so difficult, though, but it is that challenge and that artistic challenge that keep you going.
Well, everybody's job is difficult in some way or other. This is difficult in its way, but I mean, I'm skilled in this direction. But you're on your own. You work on your own, and that's maybe fun for the first 2 decades, but after 3 or 4 or 5 decades, it's rough. You spend the day having not spoken to anyone. It's a tough job.
But certainly over those decades, with that time after the first two decades, do you feel a progression that you are a much better writer now than you were when you began?
I think I'm a better writer than when I began, yeah. Particularly because when one begins, one is not a very good writer. No matter what kind of acclaim you may get or readership you may get, it's very hard to be a good writer, a fiction writer in your 20s. It's not an early blooming talent. And I think that as the years go by, you have more experience. You have more experience in life, and you have more experience with writing. And so the quality of your work improves. Yeah, it doesn't get any easier, but the quality improves.
Was it always your intention growing up to be a writer?
No, I intended to be a Major League Baseball player, but that didn't work out. So I decided to become a writer.
That first book, Goodbye Columbus, was a novella and 5 short stories. It won the National Book Award in 1960. That initial commercial success and critical success, did that help you along your way? Was that a confidence builder?
Sure, it was nice to be recognized. It wasn't a commercial success, actually. I think it sold 4,000 copies, but it did win the National Book Award, and it didn't have a paperback publisher until after it won the National Book Award. It was never reviewed in the Daily Times. So in many ways, it was an unnoticed book. It was the National Book Award that brought attention to it. But sure, it was wonderful to win that prize, and I liked that prize.
And, of course, the great commercial success comes in 1969 with Portnoy's Complaint. Were you ready for that?
I was ready and not ready. That is, I knew that, as my publisher did, that something was going to happen to this book. But when it did happen, I was quite astonished by the scale and by the nature of the responses.
Is it a double-edged sword? I mean, you're obviously proud that it is commercially successful, but then there's also the issues around it of its content and what's in there, and how can you say that?
Commercial success is fine with me. I do write for a living.
Sure.
But the notoriety that accompanied its publication was new to me. I never had been notorious before, and that took some getting used to. And until then, I'd more or less been an anonymous writer. That is, people didn't know who I was or what I looked like when I went into a store and so on. So I lost much of my anonymity, at least in a big city like New York. So I moved out of New York. I moved to Woodstock, New York. I lived there for 3 years, and then moved over here to Connecticut.
When you look at Portnoy's Complaint, are you still proud of it, that it stands up, that it is a classic?
It's pretty good. I was trying out a new voice and a new way of writing, you know. Portnoy's Complaint was my 4th book. My first 3 books were, by comparison, tame and orderly in a certain way. They adhered to certain literary dicta. But the Portnoy's Complaint was an experiment in kind of stream of consciousness for me. Remember, the main character tells the book to a psychiatrist.
Right.
And so that has permitted me all kinds of liberties. And I took these literary liberties. Now, it also allowed me to be, since he was talking to a psychiatrist, and one of the rules of analysis is that you say whatever comes into your head, permitted me a kind of obscenity that I wouldn't have used in an ordinary book, but that was germane to this guy's situation. So I found a strategy which allowed me all kinds of liberty and freedom, and I ran with it.
How do you feel about therapy?
Why, do I sound as though I need any?
Not at all, but given given this character and allowing to tell the story, of how do you feel about it?
I don't know anything about it, actually.
After Portnoy's Complaint came out and is such a success, is it difficult for the next book in the sense that there is now this audience waiting that was not there before?
No, not really. I was on a kind of comic excursion beginning with Portnoy's Complaint, and I just wanted to see how far I could go with comedy and even with farce. If it was possible to write a book well that was highly comic and farcical. And so after Portnoy's Complaint, I continued in that vein with satire of the Nixon administration called Our Gang, and then a peculiar book called The Breast, and then a long, I thought, funny book about baseball called The Great American Novel.
Very funny book.
Oh, good. You're the only person over 12 who's ever read it, I think.
Do you
Maybe you were 12 when you read it.
Yes, I was young. Do you enjoy writing I mean, I assume that writing humorously is difficult. I mean, humor is difficult anyway, but do you have to have a special mindset to do that, or does it come rather naturally for you?
Well, it has to come naturally, I think, for me or for anyone. It's a spontaneous response to the material. The baseball book, for which you know, the Great American Novel, that I just was on a tear there, and a comic tear, and it was all quite spontaneous. I laughed aloud in my studio when I was working. Now my work doesn't seem to be terribly funny. I've been writing about rather grim subjects, and I wonder if I even know how to be comic now. So I think it depends on the material, your response to the material, and even the time of life, perhaps.
An archival interview with Philip Roth from 2008. Roth died at the age of 85 yesterday. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.